for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
Hey, everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She's grown up as the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, celebrating 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
Yes, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia, on over 8 years of broadcasting here on Live Paranormal. And thank you, too, to all of our moderators for patching us through at live events when we had no live internet feed. And thank you, Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week. And today, Sophia, she discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves, and today is no exception. Today we welcome executive producer and host Tracy Austin of the Let's Talk Paranormal show series, author of both Welcome to Haunted Las Vegas, Nevada, and Alien Encounters in the Western United States. Everyone visit the TracyAustinShow.com. That's the TracyAustinShow.com, Twitter at Tracy_show, Instagram at the Tracy Austin Show. And feel free to call into the show too as well, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Upcoming, we have one hour, two mediums hosts, Catherine Waite Paulson and Melissa Chagall. They'll be on the program next Saturday. Call-in readings are welcome, so you can call into the regular host line. I'll post that, too, as well, into the chat room. So feel free to jump into the Live Paranormal facebook.com chat room. We have some guests in there right now. So feel free to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And again, all the links will be posted in there throughout the show. Squatch Files research team founder and author John Cooey Kendall returns to the program on February 15th. Also, A&E's Ghost Hunters key investigator Brandon Elvis returns on the program on the 22nd of February. And congratulations, Brandon. His boy was born 1 week ago today, so he's a very busy man, and we'll catch up with him on all the behind-the-scenes extras of the Ghost Hunters series. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other guests securing their guest spot as we speak. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends. And also tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. We have as well, too, on this network, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this network. If you miss anything, get bumped out of the studio, there's free MP4 iTunes downloads available on the homepage of liveparanormal.com directly following the show. Without any further ado, let's bring on the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli. I'm trying to unmute. It's a little slow in this video. There we go. We have you. Sophia, congratulations. 8 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years. It seems like just yesterday you started this broadcast, and it's like if you build it, they will come. So a lot of great guests throughout the years. You've helped a lot of people with your show. You're doing a fantastic job. But you got this. You got all these Instagrams and Twitters and all these things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram, at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, you got a long last name. We cursed you with that. So just drop one of the L's. So Sophia Temporelli on a lot of the on the sites there. Check out her YouTubes. Great new YouTubes added too as well. This guest has been a long time in the making here. So tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome host Tracy Austin of the Let's Talk Paranormal show series and author of both Welcome to Haunted Las Vegas, Nevada and Alien Encounters in Western United States. Everyone visit thetracyaustinshow.com, Twitter at @Tracy_show, Instagram at The Tracy Austin Show. Let's welcome her in.
All right. This is an honor. Let's welcome Tracy in. I'm trying to unmute too as well. Tracy, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We're doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for asking.
So to start off, can you describe what your first sighting of a UFO was like and what kind of led you down the path of the paranormal? Was it the alien encounter or was it something else?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's quite a story. Yes, it happened to me in 1987 when I was a student in London. And I was studying at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. And I was training to be a classical concert pianist. And you know, my days there used to be very, very busy, focused on my instruments, 7 to 8 hours of practice per day. So it was quite quite a lot of dedication and focus. And my best friend was a guitarist. And so one fine day, we are at the place that we were staying as students, and there was 9 windows along one wall. And on this particular day, we're just having a general conversation, and I happen to be looking outside of the window, and I see this very strange craft. And what it was like was pointed at the top, rounded at the bottom. It was like a cone, pointed at the top, rounded at the bottom, and it was moving in an anti-clockwise motion. And I kept looking at this thing, and I said to my friend, what the bloody hell is that? You know, as you do. And he says to me, it's a UFO. And I said, UFO, what do you mean? And he explained to me what it was, because he'd seen things as a small child, whereas I really hadn't. And so I said, so you mean this thing is piloted by beings from, what, another planet, another galaxy, interdimensional? He said, exactly, it could be either of those scenarios. So at that point, we just both stood and we watched it move across the sky, still in an anti-clockwise motion. And I knew it was metallic because of the way that the sunlight was glinting off it. It was almost like a semi-transparent, but you couldn't really see through it. But it was definitely metallic. The sun was hitting it, and we watched it move across the sky until it was out of view. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sky was blue, very, very few clouds, if any, were around. And of course, that day, that night, I couldn't help but tell everyone I met about this craft and what we'd seen. And the next day, we were going somewhere on the underground tube station, the subway. As I know, probably many of your listeners know that London, like New York, has a train subway. And we get out the other end of the subway where we're going, and there's a man selling newspapers by the entrance. And my friend points out, oh my God, look, there's our UFO on the front of the paper. So, there wasn't actually a photograph, but there was big headlines. I don't remember seeing a photograph anyway. It was back in 1987, but there were big headlines, big headline there, UFO seen over the city of London. So we were not the only ones that saw it that day.
And have you had any other encounters since with UFOs? What kind of led decide to write a book on it?
Well, to answer your first question, I've had over a dozen sightings of UFOs since that day, and the majority of them have been all daylight sightings. So what I've seen is actual solid nuts and bolts aircraft, and one that was real up close and personal above my car. At the time, I was with my ex-husband in Studio City, California. And it was just actually across, it was actually on Radford Street, which was just across the street from CBS Studios. And that hovered about, oh my gosh, I would have to say about between 500, 800 feet above our car. So it was very, very low. In regards to the book, Alien Encounters, I was actually asked to write that book by Schiffer Publications. So that's how that book came into being.
Well, that's amazing that you know you've had that many encounters and written a book on it. Do you think that you've had so many because your first sighting made you more aware of things that were in the sky and just kind of, you know, opened your eyes to other things that are out there?
I think that's part of it, to be honest, Sophia. But, you know, I've always been very sensitive. I've always been an intuitive person. And, you know, could give little mini predictions here and there and things would happen. So I think my sensitivity of who I am plays a part in that, to be honest with you. But I think when I saw that very first craft, it was as if it said to me, you're not going to go down this path that you think you're going to go down, you know, in terms of being a musician. You're going to go down this path and you're going to find out who we are and what we're all about. And it's continued ever since that day in 1987.
Well, you know, there's so many reports throughout history of UFOs. So it's really incredible to, you know, kind of think about what else is out there, because there's so much about our universe that we don't know. I mean, the sightings at Fort MacArthur back during World War II. I mean, there's so much that people don't know about. And is that a little bit about what your book kind of talks about, is, you know, the sightings throughout history? What is it about?
Well, the book actually focuses on 9 specific people who have had alien abductions and also had alien implants placed in their bodies. And at the time, my dear friend, Dr. Roger Lear, who sadly passed away, oh my gosh, I think it was about 5 years ago this coming March, was at the time at the forefront of this as a medical podiatrist and a surgeon, and removed up until just before his death, 17 alien implants from people's bodies. And so when I wrote the book, which was in 2012, I had Roger write a section in the book regarding his thoughts on these alien implants. And he admits, you know, he started out as a skeptic with these implants. But when he was introduced to two people from different walks of life in the United States by two different investigators who said they had alien implants in their bodies, he said, you know, I thought to myself, oh, I'm just going to be removing here something that is just the usual types of things that I've always removed, whether it's hair, paper, plastic, metal, glass, you name it, I've taken it out of the human body. But when he actually opened up these two patients that had these implants, lo and behold, the implants were exactly the same.
Wow.
As each one had. Yeah, there was no differentiation in the two. So that's when it got Dr. Roger Lear to start to investigate more so on these foreign objects that he termed as suspected alien implants, because they were highly magnetic. You couldn't cut through them. You couldn't bend them. They're either T-shaped or delta-shaped. They have deep space radio waves in them as well. So, which is very, very odd.
And with all these, you know, encounters that you've heard of or stories of, you know, UFO witness, what is the most intriguing or interesting story that you've heard of?
Oh, there's been many, to be honest with you, Sophia. You know, it takes me back to 1989, because I had just left London and I'd gone to live in the, I'd gone back home to my town of Staffordshire. But in 1989 in Manhattan, New York, of course, we had that whole case of, well, her name, Linda Napolitano at the time, was seen being abducted out of a New York building where a craft came down with three beings, all rolled up in a fetal position, entered through her window and got Linda, and they all went up into the craft. And of course, they were all still all in fetal positions. Linda was the only one that was horizontal, wearing a white nightdress. And up they went into the craft, and the craft went down under Brooklyn Bridge. This was actually seen by many witnesses whose cars stood dead still on Manhattan Bridge. And they saw the craft, and it was also being watched by a very important man from the United Nations. And he was with two bodyguards at the time. The UFO researcher Bud Hopkins, a late researcher Bud Hopkins, had interviewed these two men who were known as Richard and Dan, who saw the whole event, and they were very curious as to and concerned as to what happened to Linda. And the person that was actually with them would not come forward at the time, but apparently was also taken on board the craft. And that person was a five-star general from the United Nations, which apparently happened to be Perez de Cuellar.
Oh, wow. Well, it's so incredible, you know, with so many sightings like that where so many people have actually seen the crash or, you know, have seen something happen. Like I was talking about, you know, the sighting at Fort MacArthur in L.A. back in World War II. With all of these sightings and UFOs still being kind of a topic not as much talked about, what is your hope for the future of understanding about life from other places? Is it better research or just more of an acceptance?
it's probably a mixture of both, to be honest with you. I mean, I think, you know, disclosure of this has always been talked about, Sophia, over the years. In 2018, we were told that something was just around the corner in terms of a disclosure. It never happened.
Yeah.
Then we heard about it again in 2019 that disclosure was coming. It never happened. And no matter what president seems to get into office, it's spoken about for a little while that they're going to disclose what they know. And of course, that never happens either, because a president is on a need-to-know basis. And apparently a president does not need to know. It's a way, way, way classified above being a president. So I think we know they're already here. We're not alone. I think we're very stupid to think that we're the only people in the universe. So there's so many sightings around the world, and this isn't just isolated to one country. This is worldwide. And, you know, in my book, Alien Encounters in the Western United States, my research from Europol led me to write that 4 million people have had abductions. Now, this is only the people that have come forward. What about the people that don't come forward? So
yeah,
I think, you know, research can only possibly take us so far, because at the end of the day, it's up to scientists or governments. And I don't think it's probably the government that would come clean on this. I think it's probably more of the scientific community that would come clean on it. So we know something's going on. We know we're not alone. People aren't crazy. But I don't think the president is going to stand up anytime soon, or the government, and say, you know, we are being visited. I think we, the people, make that disclosure for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much about the world that we just don't understand. And I think that's the hardest part, is trying to stop separate, you know, fact from fiction, because a lot of the examples people see of aliens and UFOs are typically from scripted series like Men in Black or Roswell, New Mexico. And so it's really trying to be able to decipher what people believe to be true and what isn't. And once people believe something is true, then trying to dive deeper and figure out the actual whole truth.
That's right. Like I said, you know, the more research someone does, I feel, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure many other researchers would agree. The more information that you actually find, you have less answers and more questions. So it's just like a never-ending circle. This is the conundrum. So hopefully we get to a point where something will be disclosed to a greater degree that will, you know, hopefully tell the skeptics, hey, we're being visited, this is real, people aren't imagining things. But even then, you know, you could have, as people say, UFOs land on the White House lawn, and people are still not going to believe that it's accurate and that it's real.
Yeah. And I think that's really the hardest part about the paranormal, is I think that it's such a broad heading that can fit things like UFOs and, you know, ghosts, legends like Bigfoot and stuff. And it's really, you know, the things that people see, but also things that a lot of people don't believe. And trying to kind of bridge the gap between science and what people think is fiction is sometimes the hardest part of the whole concept.
Or speaking of truth.
It is. Yeah,
and,
it is. And, yeah, I mean,
oh,
you know, people that have been skeptical are now believers, because they've seen something that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't identify as a normal craft that belongs to us, a usual craft from Earth. It's something, I know that people say, well, you know, it's a UFO. That means it's unidentified. I don't think that term is correct anymore. I think it's more of an IFO. It's more of an identified flying object, because we know it hasn't come from us. The speeds that these things do would kill human pilots. So there's some amazing footage out there, especially in space around the International Space Station that astronauts are seeing and filming. So, and thank God for astronauts that have come clean and come forward with talking about this. You know, the late Gordon Cooper, the late Edgar Mitchell. These are people that wanted the information to come out. You never really heard anything from Neil Armstrong. I think what Neil Armstrong witnessed for himself, he obviously actually took to his grave with him. Buzz Aldrin, you know, he kind of just dances around it somewhat. I don't think he really has openly spoken about what has been seen. But thank God for those astronauts that have. Story Musgrave is another one, for example. So, right. You know, kudos to these astronauts for coming forward and jeopardizing their pensions and things like that, or getting to that point where they can openly talk about it and tell people.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I know you also host a radio show. Do you, what do you talk about on your radio show, Let's Talk Paranormal? And what can the audience expect when listening in?
Oh, a whole Pandora's box of different things, Sophia. We talk A to Z of the strange but true. This coming Sunday, I should say, this coming Sunday, tomorrow, the 26th, we have Jeff Harmon on the show, who's an amazing astrologer. And what he's doing is he's talking about predictions for 2020. He came on the show last year. We did predictions for 2019. He actually predicted that President Trump would get into office 4 years ago. And of course he did. And he's predicting that he's likely to get into the office again for the next 4 years. So, my listeners of KGRARadio.com, you know, tune in tomorrow and listen to the prediction show with Jeff and I. But like I said, we talk about a whole gamut of things, A to Z of the strange but true. And to me, by the way, paranormal, there's nothing para about it. It's mm-hmm. normal. It's normal. It's with us every single day. It's how we deal right. with it and how we live with it in our daily lives.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that a lot of the paranormal is, you know, it is very natural. I mean, the afterlife is a natural thing. It happens to every single person on this earth at some point in time. It's just removing the stigma that there can be that bridge to where there are spirits that you can connect with and contact. And, you know, maybe there is a place called heaven, maybe there isn't, you know, it's trying to figure that out without, you know, just brushing aside that there is other things to this world that we can't fully explain.
Well, there is, and I'm glad you brought that subject up, because I've just written a third book, actually, that's going to be published this year, which is about near-death experiences. But the afterlife itself, I can tell you, 1,000% is real. And I tell you why. I lost my dad in 2017, in November of 2017. And my dad was a big, big skeptic. He was a quiet man, but a big skeptic, and just thought that when you die, you die. That's it. There's nothing. Well, yeah. I can tell you that since April of 2018, my dad has visited me every single month without fail. And what he does is he actually switches on the light in one of my guest bedrooms. And in actual fact, today he came and visited and switched the light on in the guest bedroom. And I think it's because he knew I was coming on your show today. So I think he wanted to show his presence.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's absolutely be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I actually went to see the psychic medium John Edward last May. He came to, because I live in Las Vegas, And he came on part of his tour to the Red Rock Casino. And so I went along there and for 2 days, and I watched John do his thing and spoke to John. And, you know, he said to me, what are the easiest way? And it's good for your listeners to know this too, because if any of your listeners have lost a loved one, please don't think that you may never, ever talk to them again, because that is incorrect. And John said to me, you know, the easiest way to communicate with a loved one in spirit is to actually write them a letter, because they do see it and they do read it. And so I am actually living proof of this. And I started to do this just a couple of days after meeting with John in May of 2019. And I have a journal on my desk that I bought many, many, many years ago. And it was such a pretty journal. I didn't want to just write anything in it. I was saving it for something, but I didn't know what at the time. So when John mentioned this to me, I thought, aha, I can use the journal that I bought specifically to write to my dad. And I can tell you, I kid you not, when I write in that journal, within a 24-hour window, my dad will acknowledge the fact that he's read that letter and he's seen it, and he shows up and he switches the light on in the guest bedroom to let me know.
Wow.
So it's quite something. So if any of your listeners, you know, are skeptical about this and you think there's no way to actually get in touch with your loved ones, you absolutely can. You do have to ask for a sign when you write the letter. Always, always ask for a sign. And you have to be patient. I got lucky. I mean, my dad showed up straight away. But then again, my dad's been visiting me every month anyway since April of 2018. But and literally, he's come as quick as me writing a letter within 15 minutes. So
yeah.
I'm living proof of it. Yeah, I've had feathers. My dad has left me feathers inside the house, not just outside, close to the door. Or
like Forrest Gump.
Inside the house. Yeah. And pennies.
Yeah.
And if any of your listeners ever get pennies from your loved ones in spirit.
My wife got those after her dad died. Yeah.
Yeah, always check the date. Always check the year on the pennies, because the year is of significance to that person.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible, you know, the way that loved ones will reach out after death. And I'm sure for you, it's so comforting to know that he's still around and with you and, you know, supporting you and just listening to you, even though he can't physically be with you.
Well, it is. And this just goes to show you that we're not all that we appear to be, Sophia. We're not just flesh and blood. Consciousness somehow survives beyond the threshold of death. I have a couple of friends. They're a husband and wife team who live in Arizona. I think you may have had them on the show, the Rathmans, Tony and Sherry Rathman.
Yes. Yeah.
Tony.
Yes, and they are paranormal investigators. Now, Tony has created an absolutely amazing device called the Evox machine, and he connects to spirit through that box, through that spirit box. And we've done a couple of tests. We've done about three tests to try and communicate with my dad. And every time, on the three times, I've actually had communication from my dad in my dad's tone of voice. So this isn't just somebody just saying something. So, you know, Tony held up a picture one time that had me and my dad in it. And I just sent my dad a photograph of me and my dad just so Tony could see what my dad looked like. And Tony was speaking into the box and said, you know, I'm looking for this particular gentleman of my dad's name. And I'm holding up a photograph and I would like for you to tell me who is in this photograph. And there's a pause. And very clearly afterwards, you can hear my dad say, that's my daughter. So,
wow.
And where I come from, by the way, in Staffordshire, we have a slang term of using me instead of my, a little bit like Scottish dialect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we say things like, you know, me dad, me mom, me sister, whatever, you know. So, that just
King's
is even
English.
More proof. That's right. That's just even more proof that that's my dad saying that. But that's what he said. That's my daughter. Very, very clear as day. And then just recently, I've had three visitations this month in January. I had one on the 6th, one on the 20th, and then a very nice surprise this morning at 7:50 a.m. this morning. The light was on in the guest bed. So on the 6th, I always tell Tony when I get a visitation from my dad, I send him a quick message, and he said to me, you know, do an EVP while he's put the light on. And I did an EVP and sent it back to Tony. Tony cleaned it up, and very softly, but you can still hear it nonetheless, my dad is saying, I'm all right. Because I say, you hear me say, I would love to hear from you, Dad. You know, I'd love to hear from you. And that's when you hear my dad say on the EVP, I'm all right. And it's whispered, but the pronunciation of my dad and how he would say it is spot on.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way, you know, for someone who's passed on to just, you know, still be able to support, is just to let you know that they're okay and that they're still with you. Because even though they're not there physically, just knowing that they're around is so, so unbelievably important.
Well, it is. And like you said, even though you can't see them, you know, at the end of the day, we are energy. And I liked the analogy of how the psychic medium James Van Praagh said this one time. And I wrote it in my first book, Welcome to Haunted Las Vegas, Nevada. James Praagh had said that going into the spirit world, if the analogy of it is, if you can think of an ice cube, and what the ice cube is, which is a solid mass of water. When it melts, what is it? It's still water. It's still the same source that it once was. It's just in a different form. So if your listeners can think of that, of our physical body being like that of an ice cube, and when we make that transition into the spirit world, we change. We're physics. And you can't destroy physics. You can't destroy energy. It just transforms into something else. And for me, I don't think that heaven is a place as such. I feel it is more you would call a space rather than a place.
Mm-hmm.
And they see everything that we do. They hear us talk. And it's very clear they can hear us talk, because the answer that my dad gave on the 6th of doing that EVP was a very intelligent answer to what I was asking. You know, I'd love to hear from you, Dad, and are you okay? And that's when he responded, I'm all right. So it's an intelligent response. It's not just, you know, words that don't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, the spirit world is so vast. I mean, with so many decades past, I mean, it's really interesting, you know, the whole concept of it. And, you know, thinking about the energy staying here with their loved ones, I've always wondered, you know, why you don't get EVPs from the 1500s, 1600s, but maybe it's just because the people who have passed on, their loved ones also have too, so they have no reason to stay any longer.
Right, and you've got to also think about that whole thing of reincarnation. And I don't claim to be an expert on this at all, because I'm not. But all I can go by is my own experience of you know, with my father. I mean, I've always known that there was another side. I've always known that there was an afterlife. And I used to say to my dad, you know, my parents, when I used to Skype with them in the UK, and the rest of my family are back in the UK. I used to say to them on Skype, you know, I know you don't want to talk about this, but when it comes to your time of having to cross over, please give me a sign. Please show me that you made it and everything was okay. Well, of course, my dad used to kind of roll his eyes, you know, and he used to look away like, okay,
yeah.
Tracy. So, and, you know, not believing what a word I was talking about, like I was insane. But now, he absolutely knows for sure that there is another side. There is some place that you go to that your energy transforms to and is letting me know this. So for those sometimes, you know, like you said, in the, you know, 1500s, 1800s or whatever, I think maybe some of them you can contact if they are still around. But there's that whole question also of reincarnation, of when that happens, precisely when that happens. Do you have a conversation with God to say, you know, okay, I want to reincarnate back in this time, in this era? So that might be a reason why some people can't connect with ancestors from that time, is because they could have well already reincarnated into a new life and a new existence physically.
Definitely. And we won't fully know for sure until we actually reach that stage of our life. But I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And I want to welcome Tracy's dad into the show, and as well my father-in-law, Sophia's grandfather, too, who passed, because he left pennies for everybody in the family right around his passing. There's also a certain smell. He took a lot of medications towards the end, so that's another indicator that they're near you. It's just a single breath of something. Aboard the Queen Mary, there's Captain Jones with a hint of a cigar every once in a while in certain parts of the ship. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I want to thank Lady Dove and KKD in the chat room. They're actively chatting. Lady Dove says, my eldest aunt told us the story that she was abducted by aliens and brought back cured of cancer. So there are these stories too as well. We're going to return with Tracy Austin. Everyone visit thetracyaustinshow.com. That's thetracyaustinshow.com, amazon.com for her books too as well, Twitter at @Tracy_show, Instagram at @TheTracyAustinShow. This is an honor, a long time in the making, and we're glad to have her on, and we'll be right back at the late edition of the show at the back of the break here with Tracy.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Dave Schrader of The Holzer Files, and he felt left out of a lot of those chime-ins when he was a guest promoting the series. So we have you back in there, Dave, into the audio bites. Welcome, Tracy Austin and Sophia. Have you back on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you again so much for coming on today, Tracy. It's been amazing hearing your stories and, you know, learning more about, you know, your experiences with the afterlife and UFOs.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you about them. And like I said, the paranormal really encompasses a lot of different things. So I'm glad that we're speaking not only about UFOs, but also the afterlife, too.
And, you know, speaking of the afterlife, earlier you mentioned Welcome to Haunted Las Vegas, Nevada, one of your books. Can you tell everyone a little bit about the book and what kind of inspired you to write it?
Well, again, I was approached by Schiffer Publishing to mm-hmm. write this book. And living in Las Vegas, it's very, very haunted, has lots of hauntings out here in the Silver State. And I had worked alongside with a paranormal investigations team called Las Vegas Society of Supernatural Investigations, LVSSI. And I sat with them for months on end. We went through many, many of their different accounts of their investigations. And I took about 18 of their best investigative accounts to put in the book. And I wanted to focus not on things like hotels and casinos because it's been done before. So I wanted to focus on residential hauntings. And that's what it covered from all, you know, to the south, to the north, the southwest, the northwest, whatever, the east of Las Vegas. It's very haunted out here. And also people who've just moved into, at the time I wrote the book, people who've moved into brand new homes were also discovering that they were having hauntings. So it's not just mm-hmm. old homes, old houses that have paranormal activity. New houses have them too. So, and it all depends on the land that the house is built on that can cause these kind of disturbances. So even though I say so myself, it's a great book. It's a great little book, thanks to LVSSI helping me, you know, incorporate the stories into that particular book.
Well, that's great. You know, you were able to work together with them and create the book. With Las Vegas in mind and so much history, what do you feel is the most haunted location within Vegas?
I don't think there's any one in particular, mm-hmm. but I know that a couple of the hotel casinos out here have been known to have some very strange goings on. The Boulder Dam Hotel is one that has a haunted room in there. I think this in the basement as well. That is going on in that particular hotel. There is also, I think, the Flamingo Hotel on the Strip also has some paranormal activity. And also the one that, I just can't think of the name of it, the one that's like the castle that is also on the Strip right next door to the Luxor there. I live here and I can't even think
Caliber?
Of what the hotel. The Excalibur, thank you. Yes, Excalibur.
Yeah.
There's a haunted,
I know Mike has seen
a haunted room. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, there's a haunted room in there too. So I don't think there's anyone in particular that's more haunted than another, as far as I know. But of course, you also have Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum out here now in Las Vegas. So
yeah.
I think people are enjoying that venue. So, yeah, the Silver State is very much haunted.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much history there, too. With the way the casino started, a lot of them starting with mob connections, is that clearly is going to leave some sort of impact on the land or whatever happened there.
Exactly. And, you know, we used to have the Liberace Museum right down on the Strip. And as a kid, because I trained as a concert pianist, I was a huge, mm-hmm. huge fan of Liberace at the time. And, you know, as a kid, I went to see him live at the London Palladium to perform. Mm-hmm. And so always been a huge fan. I thought he was a great showman. And, you know, when my parents came over to visit Las Vegas, I took them down to the Liberace Museum. And one Halloween, I was invited with a gentleman who does a ghost tour out here. And, you mm-hmm. know, it's like a bus that tours around the Strip, and it shows you, they show you haunted locations. And we did a seminar together. And at the end of the show, end of the seminar, I had a gentleman that come up to me, and right across from the museum was a restaurant. And again, the name escapes me of what this restaurant actually is that I believe Liberace owned. And he showed me a photograph of the restaurant that was empty, except for the fact of Liberace sitting at a table, his spirit sitting at a table. There was a white tablecloth on the table, mm-hmm. and he was dressed in a pink shirt and white pants. And unmistakably, it was Liberace. So I was blown away when I was shown the photograph. And I asked him, you know, well, why did you take the photograph? Because the restaurant was empty. And he said, well, I just got a feeling to take a photograph. So I just aimed the camera in the direction, and voila, there he was sitting at a table. So,
yeah,
pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible what, you know, a gut feeling can kind of bring you in the world of supernatural, paranormal, and ghosts, because it is so important to just listen to yourself, because you can really capture some really great things just by kind of tuning into what we naturally already have.
That's right, you know, and whether somebody just takes a photograph for the sake of it or whether somebody actually feels something, just take that photograph. Just take it and see what comes up. You might be surprised. You know, orbs are the kind of thing that lots of people see in photographs. Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate them from specks of dust, so you really do have to examine them
yeah.
to some degree. And I know that in a lot of genuine orb photographs, people have actually seen faces in the orbs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how spirit can actually show themselves. And an actual fact, you know, you mentioned before the break there about your grandfather sending, was it your grandfather that was sending pennies?
Yeah, it was my grandfather. He died
yeah.
when I was, I think, 5, and he would leave pennies for my mother. And afterwards, my mom had his van, and she would also smell him when mm-hmm. she would get in the car, because he apparently had a really distinct smell. I was extremely young, so
yeah,
I don't remember that much.
Right.
Yeah, he had
right.
Alzheimer's, so he, yeah, it was just like a bad, but yeah, it's distinguishable.
Well,
but
you know,
pennies,
it just
definitely.
Makes you. Yes, definitely. And like I said, I've had a few of those as well. I've had hummingbirds sent to me. I've had dragonflies that would sit in a tree just
wow.
outside my balcony. And I mean, you know, people might say, oh, well, a hummingbird's going to sit on a tree and a dragonfly's going to sit on. No, not like this. They were there for 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
hours straight.
Oh, wow.
That is not normal hummingbird and dragonfly behavior. So what I was going to say was that, you know, it makes you wonder if there's some kind of training on the other side or some kind of school that spirit attend to show you how
mm-hmm.
you can communicate back with the physical. You know, you can send feathers.
The comfort
and you can send
sign.
These types of. That's right. You can send these feathers to your loved ones. You can send pennies. You can send dimes. You can choose a certain bird that you'd like to send. To your loved ones, or, you know, dragonflies, butterflies, etc. So it just makes you wonder, like, they're taught how to do this because
yeah.
they all send similar things. Cardinals, I know that cardinals are sent to a lot of people. My mother in the UK actually gets robins. And robins are native to our country, but in winter. But the strange thing is that my mother's been having
mm-hmm.
robin visitations from winter all the way through to summer, and they're not summer birds, they're winter birds.
Oh, wow. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, Tracy, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
Well, I do have coming up in the next couple of weeks, I do have Lon Strickler coming on the show. I've always had a fascination with Mothman. And
mm-hmm.
I spoke to somebody many years ago when I lived in California who actually had a sighting of Mothman here in Las Vegas, driving from Las Vegas back to California. So I did a show with Lon back in 2018 because there were many, many sightings of Mothman happening all over the place, mainly in Chicago. And Lana's coming back on the show in the next few weeks to give us an update on that. As I said, tomorrow we're doing the prediction show with Jeff Harmon. All your listeners have to do is every Sunday night log on to kgraradio.com and you can hear the show. We do have the archives there as well, KGRA Radio Archives. And then we've got the Tracy Austin Show, which has its YouTube channel. So just go on YouTube and type in the Tracy Austin Show. And you can see some past shows there that I used to do in California, as well as some up-to-date podcasts as well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Tracy. It's been amazing talking to you, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
Absolutely, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. So thanks for having me on today.
No,
well,
thanks,
thank you,
Tracy.
So much,
I know,
and have a
Sophia.
Great weekend.
Yeah, I know Sophie had more
yep.
Questions, too. Oh, and that was Carluccio's Tivoli Gardens. That's the place that Liberace owned at one time.
That is it. Yep, that is it.
Long time
that's
ago.
Where the person took the, yeah, that's where the person took the photograph of him there, right in spirit.
Wow. And,
well,
and welcome
you.
Your dad to the show, because I know he must have had a big part in making this happen. I mean, we had a lot of obstacles, but I want to thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on, and we really – really made this come together, and we'd love to have you back anytime.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I'd be happy to come back anytime. Just let me know.
All right,
well,
Tracy. Thank you so much.
Tracy. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. You too.
Bye.
Well, thanks, Tracy. And Sophia, fantastic show today.
Definitely. Tracy was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And as Tracy mentioned, this the Sunday show that she has is going to feature a guest that Sophia had, great predictions coming up. And that's Jeff Harmon, the astrologer. So that's Sunday, as she mentioned. So everyone, thetracyaustinshow.com. That's thetracyaustinshow.com. Twitter at Tracy_show. Instagram at thetracyaustinshow. And coming up next Saturday, we have 1 hour, two mediums. Host Catherine Waite Paulson and Melissa Chagall. That's going to be the 1st of February. So call-in readings are welcome at the number on the show. That'll be posted in the chat room and along the way. Of course, it's the 347-202-0316. Archive shows are available immediately following this broadcast. So if you miss anything, you can catch them on the archive show. As always, too, we have the Squatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall to update us. That's going to be on February 15th. A&E's Ghost Hunters key investigator Brandon Elvis returns to the program on February 22nd. And congratulations, Brandon, on the birth of his son just a week ago today. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.